After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers. All right, welcome back. I'm doing a series on movies and shows that dramatically impacted my coming out, deconstruction, and eventually leaving the evangelical world. Today I'm going to talk about a series that impacted me years before I actually came out. And there's a lot surrounding this show, so let's get into it. Today I want to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, right? So there's a movie called Buffy the Vampire Slayer that came out in the 90s, and it was a comedy. And then I think, you know, there was talk in the writer's room or whatever about how the premise of that movie actually had a lot of potential, and then they ended up making a show out of it that went for 7 seasons. Sarah Michelle Gellar, right, was the star of that show. First, let's address Joss Whedon is the creator and writer and director of, you know, a lot of the episodes, and the writer of the actual, like, story itself. Joss got canceled in 2020 for creating a toxic work environment and being, like, casually cruel and inappropriate. And it's such a bummer because he was such a talented writer and storyteller. I love the way he did so many projects. So let's just acknowledge, like, man, it sucks that, you know, sometimes creators who create art that we love and fall in love with and have such an impacted experience from come out later as being not great human beings, you know? And unfortunately, that was the case here with Joss. So let's just acknowledge that and step it aside and still, you know, be able to appreciate the impact that this show had on me as a queer kid. So if you haven't seen the show, some of this, you know, I can't explain all that. There's too much to go over. It's been out for years, so there will be some spoilers that are going to come up here. I'm expecting, you know, it's not my fault that this is getting spoiled. So one of the biggest things that impacted me in this particular vein of thought is I think Buffy is one of the first shows I ever saw a queer relationship in. So Willow, the sidekick to Buffy, who becomes a witch eventually in the show, she comes out in season 4 as a lesbian and gets into a relationship and is in a lesbian relationship for 3 seasons. And I loved how they showcased just the casual everydayness of a lesbian relationship, because at the time when I first saw the show, I was still uncomfortable and I still, like, had that visceral, like, internalized homophobia that would kick in if they would kiss or, like, make sexual jokes with each other. I'd, you know, have that little, like, kickback, like, oh God, like, they shouldn't be saying that, or, you know, that was still coming up. But there was also a part of me that, you know, I would not have ever admitted at the time that I loved it, but some part of me, you know, I think felt validated and affirmed and advocated for even before I was ready to allow that, you know, which I'm so thankful for. So I really appreciate what Buffy the Vampire Slayer was doing in pop culture well before it was popular. You know, it was so controversial. I think Buffy pushed the boundaries a few times in, you know, what they, the subject matter they, like, pushed and, like, addressed, the way they went about it. But yeah, that, I think Willow and Tara's relationship for 3 seasons, just getting to watch them go through very real challenges, you know, and just in relationships, especially, like, as it pertains to, like, being queer. And also just the love and affection and devotion they had for each other. It was, like, beautiful and, like, well done. And I really appreciated that. And that was really impactful for me. Another part to the show that I didn't realize when it was happening, but in hindsight can look back and be like, wow. The feminism that came through in Buffy the Vampire Slayer was, like, formidable and consistent, you know, just, like, continuously promoting strong, independent women who were capable, who were self-sufficient, who were, you know, executive, who were human and real, and we, like, got into their struggles and challenges, and, like, you know, some of it was, like, pretty gritty, and you're like, oh, God, but also, like, the triumphs and the strengths and, you know, just, like, the beauty and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? The finesse, I guess, that, like, especially Buffy brought to the table. That was, like, really heroic and beautiful to see. And I think there's a big part of, like, I'm going to throw X-Men, the animated TV series, in here also, just because there are too many things I would like to cover and I can't just do everyone. But before Buffy, I was obsessed with X-Men, the 90s cartoon, right? And I think for these two shows specifically, what really, like, compelled me and drew me in was the strong female characters. in the X-Men cartoon series, Rogue and Storm and then eventually Jean were like very strong, formidable members of the X-Men team, and they were women, you know? And so you got to see them fly around and be powerful and contend, you know, with the other like power players on the field, and they held their own and in a lot of ways were stronger than a bunch of the men next to them. And I loved it. I loved it. I think there was a part of me that just desperately like wanted feminine strength, but I didn't want it in like, I, you know, whatever, like Barbie land, you know, or like My Little Pony. Like these women were contending in a man's world, right? Like the superhero taking this seriously, like Marvel universe. We've got these strong female characters. Like that was so compelling to me. And I was conscious of it on some level. I would not have said it like this, obviously, when I was a kid, but I loved how unique and powerful these women were, but that they were overtly feminine. I mean, maybe overtly is the wrong word. They were just like straight up women, you know, like representing and embodying the feminine in our culture, yet also being able to throw down and be strong and powerful and overcome, you know, their enemies. So cool. So Buffy continues in that theme. You see Buffy obviously come up against a lot of different enemies and just continue to demonstrate a formidability and a strength that just contends with the other power players in her world. Love it. Like that was so good for me, so helpful and like validating. And I don't think I've ever identified as, you know, like wanting to be a woman. I mean, as a kid, I wanted to be a woman, you know, I don't mean like, you know, that I was trans, but like there is something about femininity that was always so alluring. I think, you know, we can get into the psychology behind this. We're not going to because that's not the point of the series. But as a boy, as a gay kid, I was always so enamored with feminine things. Like I wanted the long flowing hair. I wanted to wear the dresses and the heels and wear the makeup. And, you know, like I just wanted to, like I thought cheerleading was awesome. It basically just, I think my childhood plays out as like, I was so impressed with like things, quote unquote, girls liked when I was a kid, you know? And then the things that like boys were supposed to like, I didn't have a ton of interest in. Like I didn't care about cars or football or basketball or baseball. I enjoyed playing sports, but I wasn't like into it like, you know, the other boys were, but I was into like the hair, the makeup, the jewelry, you know, like that was always the glitter. Like I was into it. Anyway, so again, like in the same theme, I went to media, like shows as a kid, especially shows and movies to have that part of my psyche, my identity, my longing and desire, hopes and dreams, like validated. You know, they gave me examples of things to look at and things to push, you know, and expand my own imagination. And that was huge. And so like, this is again, running on the theme of representation, it's so important. Like notice what I'm talking about here are not, there are no men or gay men that I'm mentioning in this episode. Like I'm talking about women and femininity and that being like such a powerful, like theme and element of my upbringing. I was so affiliated. I had such an affinity for the feminine in the world. I identified with and related to and felt comfortable with what we would deem feminine in our culture. And like, it was usually in shows and movies that I got to like go to the depths that I wanted to, because I was always shamed and like bullied in my real life for ever exhibiting interest or appreciation for those things. My older sister was pretty influenced by the patriarchy, right? And so she always like stamped out any kind of like, you know, gay, feminine, I'd use some other derogatory terms that were used back then, you know, symptoms or features that I would exhibit. Like she would physically and verbally like abuse me to like get me to behave differently, you know? And my mom would always shame me for like having those kinds of interests. I remember, and I'm not saying this to throw my mom or sister under the bus. Like they are great people. I love them. They're not villains. They just were victims of the same things that I was, right? Like they were just practicing their role in the world that we're in. Awful. Doesn't excuse it, but like, again, just, I'm not trying to demonize or vilify these characters in my story. They're not bad people. They were playing their part, you know? And I, like, we could look at me and the things that I was a part of. There are things I enforced and supported as well that were not awesome, right? So that's not the point. I do remember there was one time I would go to my babysitter's house and she would watch The Young and the Restless and I'm trying to think of other names, a bunch of other soap operas, right? Like I would watch these soap operas with her sometimes because I just didn't have anything else to do or was bored at her house. And then one time I was at home and something happened. I think we found our, like, one of our cats had died or something dramatic happened. And I was practicing this affectation where, like, I saw a woman or maybe a few women in one of the soap operas, like, put her hands to her cheeks, right, and gasp. And for whatever reason, right, like, beyond my own, like, conscious understanding, I was drawn to that expression. And so I decided to try, I remember being conscious about this, I decided to try it out in that moment. I threw my hands on my cheeks and gasped. And my mom looked at me and, like, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she, like, rebuked me. She's like, don't do that. And, like, you know, yanked my hand down from my face. And I remember that moment, like, realizing, like, oh, I'm not allowed to express myself like this. I should not act like a girl. Like, I'm supposed to act like something else. It can't be this, right? And so then all of a sudden, the allure and pull that female characters, that femininity had in my life had to become a secret. It didn't effectively eliminate my interest or, like, you know, fascination with the feminine. It just made it taboo and something that I had to enjoy by myself and secretly, which isn't awesome. You know, like, I don't love that for little Mike. I wish that he had the opportunity and freedom to enjoy and explore what he genuinely liked and found interesting or compelling. I wish he didn't have to do it in secret. I wish he didn't have to, like, compartmentalize that part of himself, withhold it from other people, you know, stunt his own ability to, like, really understand what that was coming from, where it was going and why. Like, I wish, you know, that all could have been different, but, you know, that's how that played out. And so, again, like, the representation piece shows up as a beacon of hope in this kind of bleak scenario. I got to touch some of that in these shows because people don't get to police your imagination, right? And so you can watch a show and they don't know what you're, like, you know, enjoying and, like, hoping for more of. I was also really obsessed with the Power Rangers as a kid. X-Men and Power Rangers were my favorite shows as a kid. And I was always enamored with the Pink Ranger. And then I would also settle for the Yellow Ranger, like, because she's the other girl character, right? But, like, I didn't care about the Blue, Black, or Red Rangers or the Green or the White Ranger, right? And all the guys were so obsessed with the Green / White Ranger. I was obsessed with the Pink Ranger. And then, you know, also, like, secondarily, the Yellow Ranger. Like, I wanted to be the strong female character, like, the feminine traits and whatever. For whatever reason, just had such a compelling pull for me. So thankfully I had these shows in my life that, like, got to present and give me access to that world where everything else around me, like, prohibited it and discouraged it in me. And so, you know, I look back at these things and I'm like, man, thank God that we had TV. Thank God there were shows out there. Thank God people wrote these stories. These actors played these roles. These teams put these shows and movies on so that we could see. And it's not just entertaining, right? Like, for me, I was playing for keeps. It was validating and feeding this longing and yearning in me to connect to some element of the feminine that I possess and care about, that I needed, and I couldn't find it in other places. So thankfully it was there, and I'm, you know, it's huge. It's such a big deal. And so I love that media, that movies are as prevalent as they are in our culture and as accessible as they are. And I love how much representation is getting to show up in that space now. And, you know, I can think of different movies and characters that I love that my parents would just, like, turn their nose up at and be like, oh, disgusting or gross, you know, whatever. It would be shocking to me now hearing some of that commentary. They know better than to say something like that in front of me now, probably. But those were, like, lifelines, you know, like godsends. So thank God for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, for Sarah Michelle Gellar and, you know, Allison Hannigan, playing these strong female distinct characters in a period of time in my life where I needed to see that. I was so, like, hungry and desperate for examples, and they represented and embodied that for me, and I'm so thankful. It was so helpful. So anyway, that was, like, obviously, like, way earlier than the process I've been describing, but it was definitely, you know, some seeds, quote unquote, being sown, preceding a journey that I would eventually finally yield to and say yes. But they were part of, like, affirming and validating that process even before I was ready to, like, huge, you know? And there's an episode in season 4 of Buffy where Willow comes out to Buffy, you know, like, and tells her that she's a lesbian. And it was kind of an awkward, painful exchange. And I think that they did that on purpose. And I look back at that episode now, I'm like, man, I don't love how Buffy responded. She was, quote unquote, accepting or supportive, but she wasn't affirming. And there was a distinction there for me. I'm like, man, I wish she would have showed up differently, you know, because eventually
Buffy does become an ally and is affirming, but she doesn't start out there. And that's, you know, fair and realistic. But like, I look back at that episode and I'm like, dang, I wish that she could have been ready and was there. But, you know, for the time, to be fair to the writing, like that was probably more realistic. And she was further ahead of our culture than, you know, the average person was. So they probably did a great job, like managing the intensity and whatever in that. But anyway, yeah, I'm so thankful for that show. I can feel the inkling of wanting to watch it again. Like I said, I've seen it 4 times all the way through, and I want to see it again. I don't know what that's about, but yeah. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. It's so good. The character development is like some of the best I've ever seen. It was so well done. Just the way that these characters went through these 7 seasons, and also just the way they play with the supernatural is super interesting. I love Willow's journey. Buffy's is also fascinating to like watch, and they did a great job. Anyway, so Buffy is like next on my list of the series. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for being here. Bye.
Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out MikeMyashiro.com.